You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy.
Well, hello, everyone.
Welcome.
Welcome to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears.
We are so
This is something we do every episode. We're like, who's gonna welcome? Who's gonna? That's a D. That's Donna right there.
Does that mean you? Wow.
Actually, we tag team. So I am you, you are me. So you can talk whenever you want to.
Amen. And same to you, dear.
Thank you,
sweetie. Always.
Thank you.
You know, I know the Lord works through both of us by the Spirit, and so
don't ever want to squelch that.
We don't want to squelch that, and so we'll try not to be rude to one another, but we will. You know. We want to try to share what the Lord's bringing to our heart in the moment.
Because I don't take it as rude. It's just, you know, sometimes we just both have a lot to say.
You're in a flow. But, you know, we don't want to squelch the Spirit, as you talked about. But we do want to have some order, because God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos.
Amen.
Which is a great segue maybe into what we're talking about today.
That is very true. So, thank you again for joining us today. Just take a moment to like and share our content, if you don't mind. We want to get the Marriage Minute out there. I really do. We were on the way over here, and I'm like, this is just really like practical advice. This is practical information, practical counseling. You know, we don't want to leave people hanging out there. You can listen to any one of our episodes and be like, I can apply that to my marriage right now, today.
That's the key, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can listen, but you don't want to, like the Bible talks about, I believe it's in James, you can't, you know, look at yourself in a mirror and go away and forget what you look like. It's the same thing with the Word of God. When you read the Word of God, you can't not apply it to your life. If you don't apply it to your life, nothing changes. And so, you know, we base all of our teachings off of the Word of God, you know, what His Word teaches us. And so we're just trying to convey that to you. And so, you know, when you apply that to your life is when you're going to see real change and real transformation taking place in your life and in your marriage.
We always say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result,
right? Which you're never going to get, right?
It's just crazy.
You know, it's really about trying to form, I hate to say the word habit, but you know, it's trying to form some new habits.
Yeah, we were talking about that last
new
week.
New disciplines.
Healthy habits, healthy disciplines to incorporate into your marriage. Well, this week we want to talk about three unshakable foundations for your marriage.
That's important.
It's very important. And a lot of people have things that they base their marriage on. They think that it's a foundational thing that they base their marriage on. And if it's not these three things, I would say that you're probably destined for some heartache down the road.
Right.
Because these three things that we're going to talk about today are set in stone. They're steadfast, ironclad. There's nothing you can do to change it. And what you can do is start incorporating these foundations into your marriage right now, today. And you will see a change. You will see a difference in your marriage.
Amen.
So, when we say unshakable, you know, we talk about the shaking and the sifting. We do talk about that a lot. Like, even in our journey early on, as we become Christ followers, you know, we say, oh, Jesus, he's shaking, you know, my foundations. He's shaking. He's sifting through the sin of my life, you know, and revealing to me what needs to go. It happens all the time. And not just spiritually. Yeah, not just spiritually. It happens in our finances get shaken. Our relationship with our kids, our parenting young children, everything gets shaken.
It does.
Yeah. And our emotions, you know, I can shake you if you respond to an emotion that I'm having. Like, there are things in our lives that happen that shake us emotionally.
Well, and you can see in the world today, everything's being shaken. I mean, if you have a spiritual lens on, so to speak, and you're watching the world events and you're seeing what's going on around us, everything's being shaken in our world today. Mm-hmm. You know, nations are being shaken by war and famine and sickness and disease and rumors of wars. All these things are happening. Financial systems. Everything is that is in this world today is being shaken.
The foundation of biblical marriage completely shook. You know, yeah. marriage is between one gender. Man and one woman.
Gender is gender idea.
Yeah, it shook.
Right. Completely. I mean, from the Bible, you know, we stand on the fact that God says, and we believe what God says, not what man says, but what God says is that I created them male and female.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's it. From that's our right. viewpoint, from a biblical worldview, and what God says is there's only two genders. There's not whatever the number is now, 20-some different genders. I don't even know what the number is now. So I don't say that to ridicule people. I know people are truly hurting. I think people are truly deceived. And that's what the devil does. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So it's not God that's trying to confuse people. It's the devil that tries to confuse people. So our heart actually hurts for people that struggle with gender identity and the whole transgender movement going on right now. Anyway, I don't want to get off on that.
Yeah, that's just a rabbit trail. But it's very important to talk about. The point is
that something as simple as gender, from how I view that and how the Word of God views that, it's being shaken.
Yeah.
So everything in our world today is being shaken. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and there's two different reasons that things get shaken. So from a believer's perspective, let's just say,
right.
God shakes things in the believer's life because there's something about our life that's not, something needs refined, something needs renewed or removed. And there's a different reason that God shakes things for the believer.
Mm-hmm.
Now for the non-believer, it's also forewarning,
mm-hmm.
you know, then for the non-believer, things get shaken in your life in order to, hopefully direct you to God, direct you to accepting Jesus Christ into your right. life. Because when things get shaken in your life as a non-believer, what do you hope for? You know, where's exactly. your hope? Where's your, what do you look to, you know?
What's your firm foundation?
And so,
yeah.
People get shaken all the time. I look at a shaking from the Lord as additional purification that I need, both individually and as a couple, a married couple, in every relationship. I welcome that, because if there is something in my life that, and I always have, if there's something in my life that's not right, and I'm not completely aware of it, I expect Holy Spirit to just ping me
yeah.
and say, listen, you know, we need to look at this. And he does all the time for me. I hope you guys have that relationship too. But I believe that, you know, as we mature in our walk with the Lord, those things happen less and less
yeah.
because we have what we'll talk about. The three foundations are firm in our life, in our marriage, and in every area of our life. And so we're not easily shaken. Right. I will just say as you become more and more mature in your walk with the Lord. And so, yeah,
you learn to really trust him.
Yeah.
And you realize,
because ultimately God is in control, period.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're a believer or a non-believer, God is in control.
He's in control and he's influencing our life.
Amen.
And he's protecting us and guarding us. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, you know, I was this way. And so I really think people struggle with this at times just because of the world's message is that people think that when there's a shaking in their life, let's just say they're a believer, obviously, when there's a shaking going on in their life, like, why would God allow this to happen? Well, God's not allowing it to happen. There are other circumstances that brought that about. Either your decisions, the choices that you've made. God says, I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life. So he's not deciding for you on the things that you're doing. You're not a robot. We're not robots that are just going to, like, be mechanical and follow. That's not it. We're to choose life. We're to choose him. And so God's not the one that's bringing, he's not the author of sickness and disease, he's not the author of trouble in your life, but the devil is here, as I mentioned before, to kill, steal, and destroy. And so either the devil's bringing something into your life, or you've made a choice to bring something into your life that's made it hard and difficult. Now, when there is a shaking, mm-hmm. you know, when it's God shaking you, and he's seeing that there's something in your life that needs to go, he actually is doing that because he loves you and he cares about you.
Amen.
Because I was just looking this
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
The scripture from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, it says, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Let me read it from the New Living Translation. It might be a little easier. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. So, You know, punishment, you know, it's not punishment in the sense that he doesn't love you. He does love you because he actually sees the greatness that he has in store for you.
Amen.
And so he doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He wants you to go from glory to glory, to from one mountaintop to the next mountaintop. He doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He wants you to have everything that he's promised in his word that you can have. And so when we get stuck and we feel the shaking in our lives and we don't know why and we think God's the source, he's the source in the sense that he's convicting you to say, look, change this in your life because I actually have better for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing this because I love you. I don't want you to fall short of everything that I have for you.
Yeah.
I've got so much for you and your life is great and you have a great purpose. Don't settle for less than what I have.
Amen.
Yeah.
I liken that to how we look at our earthly children. Like, we look at our children, we want the very best for them.
Mm-hmm.
And any good parent, now I know there's not always good parents out there, but any good parent is going to want the best for your children. And you discipline them in order to create that path for them.
Right.
That's the same, even more so with God. So
it's the truth.
Yeah. So Hebrews 12:28. What do we have there? Were you reading something?
Yeah. I'm going to read Hebrews 12, 25 through 29, actually. So it says, be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one, speaking of God, who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, so it's going back to that time in their captivity, the earthly messenger, so Moses being that earthly messenger, we certainly will not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. Mm. It says, when God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, right? We're talking about shaking, these unshakable things, but God's voice shakes things. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about things that are unshakable that will always remain. The world and everything in it today is going to pass away. Everything that you may put your value, your hope in, it's all going away. But if you put your value and your hope in eternal things, in God and his word, then those things will never be shaken. And that's what God's speaking about. So since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, so that's what has to live on the inside of you and mm-hmm. I, the kingdom of God, which he does when he comes in, the kingdom of God is within you. And so let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe, for our God is a devouring fire. So anything that is not associated with God's word and his kingdom is going to be burned up.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Literally, right. It will be burned up one day. But figuratively speaking, I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, we're being refined like precious gold or precious metals, and it refers to dross. Mm-hmm. So when you heat a metal up, obviously, the things, the impurities that are in that raw material come to the surface. They're not going to stay connected to mm-hmm. the pure thing. And that's what God's trying to do when he shakes things in the earth. He's trying to bring that dross, those impurities to the surface,
right.
Not only in the world, but also in our lives and in our marriage.
Amen.
And he wants those things to go. Why? Because if you stay in that place, you get to experience all of the plan, the purpose, and the destiny that God has for your life and for your marriage.
Amen.
And so it's very powerful.
It is. It is. And so that leads us right into the first unshakable foundation for our marriage.
Yeah.
Is the unshakable foundation of the Word of God.
Right.
You have to, what's the word that I want? You have to rely on the Word of God. That has to be your source. Mm-hmm. For everything.
Yeah.
That is the foundation that is going to set your marriage, your life, your everything on the path to success, to happiness, to joy, to abundance, to all of that.
Right.
You know, the Word of God is the most powerful force in the universe.
It is. I
heard somebody say that. And his word is true. Hebrews 13:8 is true. The same today, yesterday, and forever. Is that what you're looking up?
I'm looking that up.
What's it say? Read that.
Yeah, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's unchanging. So Jesus Christ is God. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. Mm-hmm. And so he is God in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's saying, so do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Mm-hmm. This is in verse 9. So then it says, your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. So what's the point? The point is that we don't need to follow man's rules and man's dictates is from a religiosity or a religious viewpoint. We need to follow the word of God because it is life, mm-hmm. and it's unchanging and it's unshakable and it's what's the word I'm looking for? Another adjective. It's trustworthy. That's the word. It's trustworthy. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. Why? Because Jesus Christ, God, mm-hmm. is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why it's unshakable.
Yeah, his word is today, true. The 2,000 years ago, today, and 2,000 years from today, beyond.
Right.
It's not going to change. And you know what? If your marriage is founded in the Word of God, which ours wasn't always, and thankfully
absolutely
it is now.
Absolutely not.
You can't be persuaded. You know, there are a lot of shiny little trinkets out there that people want to throw at you and tempt you to, you know, jump over into the transgender thing or jump over into whatever, you know, whatever is out there now, mm-hmm. that is going to die off.
Have an open marriage.
Have an open marriage. Be polygamous. Whatever. You know, that's not new. But right. There's nothing new under the sun. But there are mm-hmm. so many things in the world today that catches, like, it's like a cat when he sees a laser, you know, light. It's like, oh, I'm going to look over here and this looks pretty and this looks great. Well, yeah, that's what Satan wants you to believe. But when you are rooted, your marriage is rooted in the foundation of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You're immovable. And you're not persuadable. I know so many people out there these days that are persuadable. Like, they hear a commercial or they hear somebody that they admire and respect speak something that's really non-biblical. Mm-hmm. That's of the world.
Right.
And they're tempted and they're persuaded to, well, no. And so they adopt that now as a way that they live. That happens so many. I see so many people doing that. So true. Don't be persuadable. Know what the Word of God says, and you will be unshakable in your marriage and in your relationships.
Can I say one
Absolutely.
Thing?
Absolutely.
That you made such a great point there. And I was just thinking of the analogy. And I've used it before at some point in one of our broadcasts, but the analogy is like, you got to know the counterfeit.
Exactly.
And what the world brings
the devil
to
knows.
You.
The devil knows it.
Yeah. What the world brings to you and the devil brings to you is the counterfeit of what God's blessing really is. And so I liken it to a bank teller, right? When they're trained on how to count money, mm-hmm. recognize money, whatever, they're counting and looking at the real thing, what the money should look like and all of how it was printed and all of the security features that are put into money. They understand.
But what else are they looking at? Counterfeit.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's my point.
Yeah.
My point is that when they've studied the real thing and they've counted the real thing over and over and over again, then when the counterfeit comes, it's easily recognizable.
Amen.
So that's why the Word of God has to be a foundation in your life, because as you said, there's so many shiny things out there that will attract our attention, will actually try to steal our heart away from God as being an idol to us. And when we do that and when we allow that to happen, then you're not going to walk in and experience the blessings that God has for you. That's just how it is. And so know what the real thing is. This is the real thing.
Amen.
The Word of God, let me hold it up so you can see my Bible. The Word of God is the real
living
thing.
Living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword.
It's there for instruction. It's there for teaching. It's there to correct you, to bring you back into alignment. God doesn't do those things because he doesn't love you, as I've already
right.
talked about. He
right.
does it because he does love you, and he wants the very best for you. And he wants you to be able to walk in that so that you can bless other people.
So, you know, we weren't always so dug in, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. so adamant about the word of God. But by faith, we chose to believe that his word is for us.
It's
by
true.
Faith, we chose to believe that his word is unshakable. Mm-hmm. And as you grow, like I mentioned earlier, as you grow in your faith walk and in your journey with Jesus, you start to see your faith playing out in real ways. Mm-hmm. And it manifests in your life. But you know, you say, well, I don't know if I have the faith for that. Well, you know, if you're a born again believer, you had the faith to believe. You had enough faith to believe to say yes to Jesus. So you can say yes to this. You have enough mm-hmm. faith, as little as a mustard seed. You have enough faith to believe that this word is good and true. And it applies to every bit of it applies to my life.
Well, and then the other scripture that's coming to mind right now is it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
So if you say, hey, well, Pastor Richard, Pastor Donna, you know, my faith is small. Yeah, I might have mustard seed kind of faith, mm-hmm. right? It might be small. But the way you increase faith is by what I just said, quoting that scripture.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that means you have to be in it. You have to study it. You have to meditate upon his word. And when you do that, that becomes a part of who you are.
Amen.
And then you operate from that place.
That's right.
And you
That's
function
right.
from that place.
All of the blessings that God has for you reside in his word.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. Mm-hmm. He cannot, there's no blessing if you're outside of the word of God. Your marriage cannot be blessed. Your life cannot be blessed. Deuteronomy 28, all those blessings.
It's
you know,
true.
Your family cannot be blessed if you are not living within God's word.
Yep, absolutely. No doubt about it. And, you know, as we talked about, the world is shaking right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nations are shaking. Economies are being shaken. As we said, gender has been shaken. Financial systems has been shaken. Everything is being shaken right now. But
That's right.
the blessings, as you said, reside in Genesis chapter 1, the first book in the Bible. Let me just go to that.
We're talking about marriages here.
We're talking about marriages. But again, everything, your marriage has to be on the foundation on God's word, the foundation of God's word.
Amen.
If it's not, it's going to get shaken. And you're going to see trouble and you're going to see challenges. So it says in Genesis chapter 1, the first book of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 28, then God blessed them, speaking of man and woman that he created, to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish and the sea, the birds, the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So God, in this very first chapter of the very first book,
mm-hmm.
this is where his blessings began.
Mm-hmm.
It started right there. Everything that Adam and Eve got from a blessing standpoint, God spoke right here. So in the very first book, God speaking his blessing, and it even there's more in Deuteronomy chapter, I believe it's 28,
mm-hmm.
beginning, 14, anyway,
beginning
28,
in 14.
Beginning 14. So you can read about his blessing in Deuteronomy chapter 28 as well. And so God spoke blessing over Abraham. And mm-hmm. so all of those things, because we are a part of the seed of Abraham, which basically Abraham believed by faith, this mm-hmm. is what we're saying,
That's right. That's
by
right.
faith. So as we believe by faith and our faith increases, those same promises that were given and the blessings to Abraham, they belong to me.
Amen.
They belong to you.
Amen.
They belong in your marriage. They're supposed to grow and to flourish there. Absolutely.
All right. So let's move on to the second foundation.
So the second foundation is the foundation of love, which we've kind of talked about that a little bit, but
love of what?
The love of God.
Love of the Father.
Love of the Father.
Yeah.
So the Father loves you. Don and I were talking a little bit earlier, and I had done some study some time ago, and it just kind of came to me again that, you know, for the longest time, I had this orphan spirit. And I probably could still struggle with that from time to time. So what does that mean? Well, just think about an orphan. They don't know their mother. They don't know their father. They've been left by somebody else. You can imagine the feelings that an orphan would feel. Okay, what did I do wrong? Why am I not loved? Why don't I have enough?
Mm-hmm.
There's just lack. Lack of relationship, lack of love, lack of nurturing, care. All of these things, you know, that we would see in the natural with a person or a child that has been orphaned, they're experiencing. Well, the same thing can happen from a spiritual dynamic. So if you saw your earthly parents leave you, then you might take that whole belief system as being a physical orphan on this earth. You would apply that to God because God is a father as well. And it's like, okay, well, if my parents are like that, then probably God's the same way. Mm-hmm. So does he really love me? Does he not love me? And so that's the problem with having an orphan mindset as it relates to God, is that we don't think that he truly cares for us, and he's left us and he's abandoned us, and he actually hasn't. He's always with us. He says, I've never left you. I've never forsaken you.
And we'll never do that.
And so John, let me just say this. So John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for us. And so that's how much God loves you and I.
That, and, you know, this is something that you want to just take that scripture and meditate on and repeat it over and over and over till till God just unpacks something for you. Because if you're looking at John 3:16, which we hear all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't really let that settle deep within your spirit and really know this at your core. This isn't just a story. This is what happened. God gave his only son to die for you and for me and yeah. for you. That really happened. And so it's not just a story that you read in the Bible. If you would just, if your parents, if you would just think about giving your only son, your only child, so that the world can be free from sin, that is what he did. And if you really just sit and think about that, you can think about it in the natural. You can think about have God unpack that for you spiritually, how that works. But you have to know this in your core, that you are loved that much. Yeah. And there's no really even any words that I can say to like emphasize what my heart feels right
you know,
now.
The hard part is with the English language, you know, love, you know, we could say we love, I did a wedding not too long ago, and we could say we love chocolate or I love, you know, cars or whatever, but that's not the deep love that we're actually speaking about. Mm-mm. You know, there's, I can't remember all the Greek words, I didn't really come prepared to talk about, but there's phileo and there's agape and there's a number of different Greek words that, so the Greeks had a number of different words that represented different types of love. Mm-hmm. And so I don't remember the one, and maybe it's the agape love that the one that I'm thinking about, but it's just an unending love, a sacrificial love that never stops. It's always, it's like the sun rays that come out of the sky from space to the earth. It's that constant and it's that brilliant and it's that bright.
Yeah. It's always shining on us. And you might say, you know, well, okay, that's great. So God loves me, but you know, he doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't care about, you know, that I'm broke, that I'm mm-hmm. going to lose my house, I'm going to lose my car. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
He knows where you live. Mm-hmm. He knows your thoughts. He knows where you work. He knows how much money you have or don't have. He knows your parents, your children. He knows your coworkers.
He knows your innermost thoughts.
He knows. Yeah. He knows everything.
Nothing's hidden from
him. Nothing is hidden from God. He knows about all of it, even all the ugly stuff, which is I'm like, sometimes I thank the Lord. I'm like, thank you so much for loving me, even though my thoughts right now are not so great.
Yeah.
Because he's never going to leave me and he's never going to forsake me. He's never going to turn away from me. And so that is the kind of love. Like I could turn away from you.
Yeah.
If I choose to. You could turn away from me. We could get divorced. That could happen. But that doesn't happen with God. It so doesn't happen with God.
Can I read a scripture?
Mm-hmm.
There's several just great scriptures. But this was from Isaiah 54, chapter 54, verses 9 and 10. It says, just as I swore in the time of Noah that I would never again let a flood cover the earth, so now I swear that I will never again be angry and punish you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I always thought God was just waiting to punish me. But it's a wrong view of him. Totally a wrong view of him. And then so in verse 10 it says, for the mountains may move and the hills disappear. So that speaks to the shaking, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
So in this world, things are going to shake, right? But even then, my faithful love for you will remain.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy on you.
Mm.
Man,
that's good.
That almost it almost brought me to tears, but thankfully I'm not bawling today.
Yeah, so we'll move on to...
So yeah, so the third thing that we want to talk about is the foundation of the church. You know, Matthew 16, 18. Do you want to look that up while I'm talking a little bit?
Any version?
Just maybe NLT seems to keep it simpler. Yep. So anyway, the foundation of the church. Why is that important as a foundation for your life and your marriage? Because you need accountability. You need people in your life that think alike. So bad company can corrupt your behavior.
It's so true.
And so if you're around people that don't believe in a godly marriage, they believe that at a whim's notice that you can leave your spouse for whatever reason and divorce, they don't have the right mindset. They have a mindset.
Or invite someone else into the marriage to spice things up. Well, you're going to spice things up all right.
So,
you're going to explode your marriage.
If you're around people in your life, other married couples, or maybe they're divorcees for whatever reason, I'm not being condemning here, just things happen with people. But if you're around those kinds of people and they're very negative on marriage, they're very negative on women or negative on men, and really it goes back to childhood issues, things of hurt from the past, whatever. But if you're around those kinds of people, they're going to influence you. They're going to influence your thoughts. And mm-hmm. so you have to really know the people that you're hanging with and what they stand for and what they believe. And are they going to be supportive of you in your marriage when times get tough? Because we all go through challenging times.
Absolutely.
And or are you going to have people in your life that at a whim's notice says, just divorce them.
Yep.
Divorce that lady. She's been doing this. She doesn't deserve, forgiveness. She doesn't, there's not going to be a restoration here. It's never going to leave you. God's not going to heal it. Just leave them,
And
there's better on the other side.
Yeah, you might think that, okay, I'm meeting this couple in church. I mean, this group of people in church. They're safe. I can incorporate them into my life and have us sharpen each other. But you really have to, just because somebody's in church doesn't mean that their heart's been changed. Mm-hmm. And so you really just have to vet things out and make sure that the people that you're running with mm-hmm. are godly people, that are biblically mm-hmm. based people. Because like we have said earlier, it's so easily to be entangled and to be led astray by the things of this world. And so just because you're sitting in church with somebody doesn't mean that they have the same values and beliefs that you do. And so it is very true. These days is like online. I'm going to watch church online. I'm going to do this online. I'm never going to leave my house. Well, you can't get that iron sharpens iron. You can't get that connection with another couple that's going to say, hey, you guys are behaving in a way that's not really, honoring to God and honoring to your marriage. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get that online, and you're not going to get that if you never leave your house.
Well, and the practical thing of our marriage is, gosh, what was it, 15? I'm trying to think about how old I am.
You're 56.
Yeah, so maybe 20 years ago. Yeah, we were in a really rough patch mm-hmm. in our marriage, mm-hmm. and thankfully, it was our church family, it was our pastors, who was very supportive of us, and we wouldn't be together, I don't think, today unless they were there for us, and they spoke truth to us.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's not like they coddled either one of us. Mm-mm. They spoke hard truth. And it hurt, and it needed to be said.
Yeah.
And so, we're very thankful for that, and we wouldn't be where we are, like you said, mm-hmm. Today, if it weren't for people in our life that were biblically based, that their unshakable foundation was the Word of God, was love, the love of the Father, and was being in church and being biblically based.
Yeah, and just to highlight a couple key points, they saw marriage as a covenant, not a contract. Mm-hmm. Contracts are breakable, right? Amen. Covenants are not breakable. That's you don't break covenants. And so they saw marriage as such. They saw the impact and understood the impact that a divorce would just tear the family apart and affect the children.
Amen.
So they valued marriage. They valued it from a biblical perspective. And that's the kind of advice we got.
Amen.
It would have been easy to leave and to walk away.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But they also believed, that was the other point I was going to make, they also believed in restoration.
Yep.
They believed that God was big enough. He was bigger than our problems at that time. And that God could heal and restore our marriage back to something greater than it was before. And that's exactly what God did.
Well, and, you know, it takes, as we wrap up, it takes humility. Mm-hmm. You know, because I was very prideful about our marriage, you know, and God uses things. He didn't cause those things to happen, but he uses those things in my life, in our life, to shake you. And he shook us. He shook us to the very core. And I'm thankful for that. Yeah. I am so thankful for that, because I wouldn't be who I am today without that. That's kind of was the hardest part of my life, was actually the one thing that I'm so thankful for, and was a catalyst for so much growth. And so, I mean, we wouldn't be sitting here, you know, talking having, marriage stuff.
We would not There's be no having way. These conversations There's with no you
way.
Right now.
There's no way.
No way.
So Matthew 16:18 says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." So liken that to your marriage.
Yep.
On this foundation.
Absolutely. This is a strong foundation. This So what do we want you to take away from all of this today? It's really about a commitment. It's a commitment that we're going to build our marriage and our lives on the foundation of three things. One is the Word of God, which is the most important. And that's where we spend a lot of our time today.
There,
it starts there. The second foundation is knowing that God loves you. And He always has, and He always will, regardless of what you've done. Nothing that you have done in this life, whatever problems you think you've created and caused, aren't too big for God to heal and deliver you from and restore you from.
Amen.
He loves you that much. That's how much He, and it's just, it's constant and it's never changing. He's not like you and I.
Yeah.
The Bible says that God's not a man that He should lie. So when He says in His Word, He means it.
We're a peculiar people.
We are definitely a peculiar people. So the third thing is the foundation of the church.
Amen.
So the foundation of godly relationships with other couples that are going to help you and support you in those times when you need some advice.
Amen.
But you need good, godly, biblical advice. People that believe in marriage, people that want to see marriages flourish and have a positive impact on their families, but also on society as a whole. Those are the kinds of people that you need to surround yourself with.
Amen.
And so when we make a commitment like that to really build our foundation on those three things, we then have an unshakable kingdom. And like you said, we're building our marriage, our life, on the foundation of the rock. And I'm going to read a scripture to you in just a moment. And then we really don't want to build our life and our marriage on a kingdom that is shakeable.
That's right.
Because
anything of this world is shakeable.
Anything of this world, the way we did life before and in marriage, it was very shakeable, and it was shaken, and we were going through the roller coaster ride of life and marriage, and it didn't seem like we were ever going to get off. It was almost like, you know, a roller coaster that just went in circles. You just kept circling the same, you know,
and upside down at the same time.
And upside down at the same time. Right. But Matthew, let me read Matthew chapter, I got to find it again, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Matthew chapter 7, and this is really powerful scripture to really kind of cement what we've been talking about today. So Jesus was talking to doing a teaching. He said, verse 24, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock."
Amen.
That's the key, because things are going to shake. You're going to have things shaking in your life, but when you have the foundation, when you know what the real thing is and not the counterfeit from what the world tells you on how to solve a problem, then you're going to see that your foundations are not going to be shaken. They're going to be unshakable because they're built on the rock, on His Word. But anyone, here it goes on to verse 26, "But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it, it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." So that's it. I mean, that's really the foundation. When we understand the power of His Word and the power of His teaching, and He does these things out of love, and He surrounds us with people that we can depend upon to give us good advice, godly advice, biblical advice for our marriage, then we are building that on a rock, on a solid foundation that will not be shaken. Or it won't be shaken for long because we're going to apply the principles of the Word of God.
Amen.
And we're going to move through it quickly. Listen, and God's going to restore it.
Do we have things in our lives? Does Pastor Richard and I have things in our life that cause us concern at times? Absolutely. But we still have that inner peace. We still have that calmness, that peace of God that just surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
Because we are founded, we are rooted in the foundation of the Word, the love of the Father, and of the church.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for listening today.
You want to pray for everybody out there today? Yeah.
Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your Word. I thank you that we have the solid, biblical, your God-breathed Word for us today. I thank you, God, for your Word. I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you that you love us with just a love that's just never, never ending. I thank you, God, that you never leave us and you never forsake us. And I thank you, Lord, that even though we may not have had earthly fathers that exemplify what we're talking here, we have that with you. And we thank you that you are just infiltrating every part of our being to help us to get that deep down in our core, that you love us so much more than we could possibly imagine, that we thank you, God, that you take care of everything in our life. We just need to surrender to you. And God, we just thank you, Lord, that you have godly people that are walking this earth, that walk in your Word, that walk in your Spirit, that are solid, biblically based people that we can turn to and that we can just share lives with. So, Father, I just lift up those people that are listening today live and that will be listening on a rerun, maybe later, Lord, that if they're just questioning, is there more out there, Lord, that you would put just an urgency in their spirit to just take that step to trust you, God, to trust you with their life, to trust you with their relationships, to trust you with their marriage, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you would just show yourself faithful to them. Shine your light so bright into their spirit and into their marriage and into their lives that they have no other way but to say, yes, God, yes, I want more of you. So thank you, Father, for all that you are. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you and God bless.
Love you, we guys. Love you. See Bye-bye. You next time. Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.